listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's adventure and mystery with dark fantasy. But first, on the lighter side, let's hang out with Jack Benny. Jack Benny program spans some 23 years with great success all the way. Benny had so many well-remembered gimmicks that listing them becomes a challenge in and of itself. In 1932, Benny was a top stage headliner when columnist Ed Sullivan asked him to appear on a CBS interview program. Eventually, he was given his own show, premiering on NBC in 1932. It became a solid hit. Don Wilson, after stints as a salesman, singer, and sportscaster, became Benny's announcer by 1934. In 1949, CBS scored the greatest coup in broadcasting, luring Benny away from NBC in a deal involving allegedly $2 million. On CBS, Benny continued in his 7 p.m. Sunday format until May of 1955, his last live broadcast on radio. Reruns of the program continued until 1958. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Jack Buys a Camel in Cairo, originally broadcast February of 1944, another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
Broadcasting from the Army Air Base at Marchfield, California. And I know all you boys are anxious to meet the star of our show. So without further ado, we bring you a man who needs no introduction and is one of radio's best loved.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Mary. How are you?
Mary, you butted in just as Don was going to introduce me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack.
That's all right. All right, go ahead, Don.
Okay. So, without further ado, we bring you one of radio's best-loved personalities. A man who, for the past 11 years, has brought joy and laughter...
Hey, say, Don, you made a mistake. Jackson's been on the air 12 years, not 11.
Oh, that's right. Hello, Phil.
Hello.
Phil, it was nice of you to correct Don, but you didn't have to do it in the middle of my introduction.
Well, I'm sorry, Jackson.
You should be. Go ahead, Don.
Okay. So, without further ado, we bring you one of radio's best-loved personalities. A man who, for the past 12 years, has brought joy and laughter...
Say, Don, you were right the first time. It is 11 years.
Mary, it doesn't make any
difference. No, Mary, it's 12 years. Jackson started on the radio in 1932.
Phil, it doesn't make any
difference. It was 1933.
Look, Mary, it doesn't make any
difference. It was 1932.
Phil, it doesn't make the least bit of...
1933, and that makes it 11 years.
Now, wait a minute. Don is trying to introduce me. Anyway, 11 or 12. What's the difference?
You haven't shot much crap, have you, Jackson?
Now, Don, never mind, Phil. Don, will you please finish my introduction?
Okay.
It's embarrassing.
So, without further ado, we bring you one of America's best-loved personalities.
Hello, Mr. Wilson.
Who are you talking about?
Dennis, please. Boy, am I sweating this one out. Now, go ahead, Don.
We bring you a man whose voice has been heard on the radio for the past 12 years.
Gee, President Roosevelt.
Dennis, you... Well, I'll be darned. You see that fellow in the fourth row? A fine way to applaud Roosevelt. Clapping two Wilkie buttons together. Look, Don, forget all about my introduction. Everybody keeps interrupting, and if you ask me, I think it's a put-up job.
Well, to tell the truth, Jack, it was a put-up job.
What?
We didn't want Don to read that introduction because we have a surprise for you.
A surprise? For me?
Yeah. Okay, fellas, all together.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jack Benny. Happy birthday to you.
Well, gee. Gee, thanks, fellas.
There you are, Jackson, you see?
Yeah, tomorrow is my birthday. Gosh, and you all remembered it.
How could we forget? You sold us the birthday card.
Oh, yes, the ones with the pink ribbons on them. I remember, yeah.
Say, that reminds me, Jackson, you owe me some change.
I'll give it to you later, Phil.
When I break this
$5 bill.
Yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth.
You should open your wallet that wide.
Never mind, I'll pay you later. Well, anyway, kids, another year, another birthday. You know, it's amazing how many prominent people were born in the month of February. Washington, Longfellow, Lincoln. It's so hard for me to be outstanding.
Oh, I can imagine.
Of course, I don't want you to think for a minute that I'm comparing myself to a man like Washington.
Why not? Washington wore a wig, too.
He did? Say, those Westmore brothers got around, didn't they? Just think, Washington, Lincoln, and Benny. What a trio. Gee.
I like the Andrew sisters.
Dennis, I happen to be talking about famous men in history. Washington, the father of our country. And Lincoln, the man who freed the slaves.
You'd ever break that $5 bill, you'd free Lincoln.
Phil, I told you not to worry. You'll get your change later. But you know, kids, getting back to my birthday, the years come along so fast you can hardly keep track of them.
They certainly do. By the way, Jack, how old will you be tomorrow?
What was that, Don?
You heard him.
Oh. Well, go ahead and guess my age. Go ahead, kid, guess. And the one that gets nearest to it gets fired. No, go ahead, kid. Go ahead, guess. 32? No.
33?
No.
34?
No.
Are we going in the right direction?
Yes, bud, but slow down. Anyway, kid, there's no use guessing. I'm not going to tell you. My age is my own business.
Well, you've been in business a long time.
Well, you can't make me mad today.
Well, Jack, since you've been such a good sport, the entire cast and the orchestra boys and the writers all chipped in and bought you a birthday.
A birthday present for me?
Yes.
Well, I'll be darned. Just what I've always wanted. A can of K-ration. Gee, I bet you fellas envy me, huh? Hey, wait a minute. How do you open a can of K-ration?
You don't open it. You just pull the pin, count 10, and throw it.
Well, what do you know?
Say, Mr. Benny.
Yes, kid.
You know what else?
What?
I'm going to sing my song now and dedicate it to you.
Well, that's very sweet. Go ahead, kid. Let's hear it.
Bésame mucho. Each time I cling to your kiss, I hear music divine. Amé mucho. Hold me, my darling, and say that you'll always be mine. This joy is something new, my arms enfolding you. Never knew this thrill before. Whoever thought I'd be holding you close to me, whispering it's you I adore. Dearest one, if you should leave me, each little dream would take wing and my life would be through. Amé mucho. Love me forever and make all my dreams come true.
Good fellas, huh? That was They Say Me Mucho, sung by Dennis Day. Yeah, I couldn't pronounce that rehearsal. Very good, Dennis. And it was awfully nice of you to dedicate that song to my birthday.
You know, Mr. Benny, I had a birthday about 3 weeks ago.
You did? Well, that's nice, kid. And now... now, fellas...
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear Dennis. Happy birthday...
Well, finish it.
I forgot the rest of the words.
Oh, fine.
And next week, he's going to try and sing Mersey Dose and Dozy Dose and Little Lambs Like...
Leave him alone, Mary. And now, fellas, as I started to say, I have a surprise for you tonight. Since we're celebrating my birthday, and you've all gotten into the spirit of the occasion so enthusiastically... I'm going to show my appreciation by giving each and every one of you soldiers sitting in the audience a 36-hour pass. Yep, that's what I'm going to do.
Jackson, you're nuts. You can't give passes to all these soldiers.
Well, maybe I did exaggerate a little, but the commanding officer here, Colonel Malin, said I could give one soldier in the audience a 36-hour pass. That is, if I can find... someone who wants it, you know?
Oh, don't be silly, Jack. They'll all want the pass. Your problem is to give it away without showing any partiality.
Yeah, that's right. How can I do it? It wouldn't be right to auction it off, would it? Or maybe it would.
Why, Jack Benny, that would be the cheapest thing you ever did.
It would not. Why, I remember once 3 years ago in Milwaukee.
Oh, stop bragging.
Well, I know what I'm going to do. I have all the seats in the audience numbered, and later on I'm going to pick a number out of a hat. And the soldier holding that lucky number gets the pass. The serial number.
Well, congratulations, Jack. You invented a new game, G.I. Bingo.
Yes, sir. Well, anyway, Mary, some soldier's going to get a 36-hour pass that he ordinarily wouldn't get.
Toasty Brown, that's for me.
Rochester! Rochester, where are you?
Pick up the phone!
Pick up the phone? I didn't hear it ring. Well, I'll be... Excuse me, Don, I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, this is Mr. Benny's residence.
What?
Star of stage, screen, radio, and television, if they ever get that stuff.
If they ever hurry up with that stuff, it's all right. You know. Rochester, you didn't have to be nice to me. It was all right. Roger, there's something screwy going on in Rochester. Right now, you're talking to me from Beverly Hills, and a minute ago, I heard your voice here at Marge Field.
Oh, boss, that must be a figment of your imagination.
A figment?
Yeah, that's something that you think is, and yet it could be, but it ain't.
What?
Well, take my salad, for instance.
Never mind that. Well, I guess it must have been my imagination. I'm kind of excited today anyway. Now, Rochester, when I come home tonight... Wait a minute. Rochester, do I hear someone playing the piano in my house?
Yeah, that was Joe.
Joe who?
Joe Figman.
Now, cut that out. Rochester, you're throwing a party.
Well, boss, I thought as long as you were out, I'd invite about 30 of my friends over. We're celebrating New Year's.
New Year's? That was 6 weeks ago.
I know. We're warming up the next one.
Well, look, Rochester, I don't like wild New Year's parties in my house, especially in February. So tell your friends to go home.
But, boss, you got the wrong impression about this party. All we had is 2 bottles of 7-Up.
2 bottles of 7-Up for 30 people? That's impossible.
Not when you thin it out with a case of 90-proof Central Avenue tomatoes.
Fine tomato juice. Well, I'm not going to argue with you any longer. I'll see you when I get home.
Oh, Jack, before you hang up, find out if Butterfly's there, will you?
Okay. Oh, Rochester's Butterfly there with you?
Yeah, she's in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Well, Miss Livingston wants to talk to her.
I'll call her. Oh, Butterfly.
Yes, Mr.
Rochester? You weren't on the telephone, honey.
Oh, goody. I was expecting this call. Hello, Jerome.
Butterfly, this isn't Jerome.
Oh, who is it, Satchmo?
No, it isn't Satchmo, it's Mr. Benny. Miss Livingston wants to talk to you. Here you are, Mary.
Okay. Butterfly, this is Miss Livingston.
Hello, Miss Livingston.
Now, Butterfly, when you told me you were going over to Mr. Benny's house, I didn't know your Uncle Rochester was throwing a party there.
Neither did I. Isn't it a pleasant surprise?
Yes, very pleasant.
Oh, Miss Livingston, I hope you won't be mad at me, but I wanted to look nice, so I used your bottle of liquid stockings.
My bottle of liquid stockings?
Yes. How much do you have to drink before it goes to your leg?
Butterfly, you're not supposed to drink that. You're supposed to put it on with your hands.
Oh, I tried that.
And what happened?
I got a pair of gloves.
Well, Butterfly, the next time you want to borrow anything, ask for it, and I'll tell you how to use it.
Yes, ma'am.
And another thing, Butterfly, I think you're too young to go to your Uncle Rochester's party.
Oh, Miss Livingston, it's a very nice party. We were just sitting around listening to your program, but we had to stop.
Why?
All the tubes blew out.
Butterfly, I think you better go home, and I'll see you when I get there. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Mary, I'm glad you got off the phone because now I got a big surprise for all the boys.
Oh, are you going to give out that 36-hour pass?
Yes, at the end of the program, but right now I have another surprise. You know, fellas, last summer I was overseas entertaining the boys, and in our USO unit was one of the most outstanding artists that I've ever been associated with. I'm speaking of Larry Adler, the world's greatest harmonica player. And did they go for him? I'll never forget one night in Algiers. The boys were all gathered around in a circle. The moon was shining as the melodic strains of his harmonica floated out over the desert.
Bye.
remember that night. And when Larry finished his first number and the cheering died away, a hushed expectancy fell over the crowd. Remember, Larry?
Yes, Jack. There in the desert night under the same romantic moon, the whole audience moved in closer so they wouldn't miss a note of the haunting strains of...
Ah, remember that, Larry.
I'll never forget it, Jack. Your playing was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, Larry, it was nothing, nothing.
Oh, then you know.
Yeah, but Larry, we sure had a wonderful time on that trip, didn't we?
Yes, Jack. Remember the day we went to the bazaar in Cairo and you bought a camel?
A camel. I'll never... Gee, I could just see it now. The bazaar in Cairo. Cairo, Egypt, where East meets West. Where an ancient civilization mingled with the 20th century. Cairo, the bazaar. Well, here we are, Larry. Larry, here we are in a real Egyptian bazaar. Did you ever think we'd see anything like this?
Gee, this is even better than the Lea room at the Mission Inn.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I hope I can buy some nice souvenirs here.
Well, remember one thing, Jack. You've got a bargain with these people. Don't accept their first price.
I see.
You must try and get everything as cheap as possible.
As cheap as possible? Don't let me forget that, will you, Larry? Oh, here comes the clerk.
Now, remember, Jack, bargain with him. Don't let him stick you.
I won't.
Assalamu alaikum, Khawagat. Marhab Saeed. Tfadalu, tfadalu fi dukan.
That's too much! What do you think we are, sucker? What do you think we are, suckers?
That's much better.
None of that stuff.
But, Jack, look, he was just bidding you welcome.
Oh. Well, look, Larry, I want to buy something for Mary. Maybe a bracelet and gold filigree that'll cost about 30 piastres, you know?
Jack, 30 piastres is $1.60.
$1.60? Oh, well, it's for Mary. How often do I come to Egypt? Go ahead, Larry. You speak a little Arabic. Ask him if I can have the gold bracelet for $1.60.
Okay. Anda kasura, dahab?
Kam.
أربعين
أنتم مجانين؟ إحنا مش حرامية. اطلعوا برا.
What did he say, Larry?
He wishes he was on your draft board.
Oh. Well, let me handle this, Larry. I'll talk to him. I can. Now, look, mister. Me like 'em, buy 'em, gift 'em. If not, cost 'em too much. Savvy?
Oh, how interesting. An American Indian, I presume.
I'm not an Indian. I got red in the face waiting for the Riverside bus. Now, look, mister, as long as you understand English, what can I buy here that's a little souvenir of Egypt?
Gentlemen, I sell everything from a postcard to a camel.
A camel? Say, that's an idea with a gas shortage. Gee, what a surprise when it arrives in Hollywood. Okay, mister, I'll buy a camel.
Very good, sir. Will you take one hump or two?
Oh, is there a difference?
Oh, certainly, sir. A one-hump camel can go 7 days without a drink. And a two-hump camel can go 21 days.
Oh, really? Well, what does he keep in his second hump?
Pepsi Cola.
Oh, I see. Well, okay, mister, I'll take the two-hump camel and a bottle opener. Yes, sir.
The camel is yours. Where shall I deliver it?
A Shepherd's Hotel here in Cairo. I'll pick it up in the morning. Oh, wait a minute. Is there a charge for delivery?
Oh, no, sir.
Well, then send it to 360 North Camden Drive, Beverly Hills, California. Come on, Larry, let's go. Gosh, what a wonderful street this is. Larry, listen to that. That's real native music. Just the kind you were so anxious to hear.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
from Dallas. And now, fellas, I'm going to keep my promise and give one of you a 36-hour pass. I'm going to pick the lucky number out of this box. Now, this is no kidding, really. I got permission. Here it is. Get your serial numbers here, fellas. It's number 041650. 041650. Will the soldier with that number please stand up and take a bow? Come up on the stage right after the show, and you'll get your pass for 36 hours. Come on out, buddy. Here he is.
From February of 1944, it's been The Jack Benny Show with Jack Buys a Camel in Cairo. In a moment, dark fantasy with Death is a Strange Deity as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Radio, remember radio.
If you have a favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Dark Fantasy was an excellent old-time radio horror and mystery program that initially broadcast out of WKY, Oklahoma City. Dark Fantasy had more emphasis on horror than rather real mystery. The shows covered some science fiction as well as murder mysteries. The program was so scary that it was broadcast on Friday nights when the nation's children were in bed. The program was the brainchild of celebrated writer Scott Bishop. Bishop, also the creator of Mysterious Traveler and The Sealed Book, both excellent horror programs with lasting appeal. While the program was quite popular, it only remained on the air for 1 year. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Dark Fantasy and Death is a Strange Deity, originally broadcast in January of 1942. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Dark Fantasy. Is a savage deity.
Is that you, Dolores?
Yes, Juana.
Don't stop playing. I heard the music coming from the conservatory, so I stopped by. What are you playing?
Just a simple melody of my own.
So weird. I thought possibly you were playing a dirge.
A dirge?
Yes. Or Andrews.
I fear neither dirge nor prayers nor candles burned on the altar will do Andrews any good.
Oh, Juana, what made him do it? He was always so happy, so full of the love of life. Why did he do such a thing?
He was blind. He couldn't stand the thought of being without the use of his eyes, so...
Yes, but if only...
I cautioned him. Over and over again, I warned him to take care of his eyes. But he wouldn't listen to me. Now he's dead.
Poor Andrews. Suppose you and James will postpone your marriage a while, Dolores? Yes, I think it best, don't you? It wouldn't be quite decent to have a funeral today and a wedding day after tomorrow, would it?
I wouldn't permit it in my home. And this is still my house, you remember. Oh, now, who's that? Yes, come in. All right, Alma, what is it?
Beg your pardon,
Miss
Jarvis.
All right, out with it. Don't stand there stammering.
Yes, Miss Jarvis. It's for Miss Dolores. Mr. Harvey's here.
Oh, Jim said he'd drop by.
Shall I show him in here, Miss Dolores?
Yes, please do.
Yes, ma'am.
By the way, Alma.
Yes, ma'am?
How does your head feel today?
Not so good, ma'am. It ached me all night long. I didn't get much sleep to speak of.
Perhaps you should go to a doctor, Alma.
I did, Miss Dolores, yesterday. He said there was nothing wrong with me, but I know better. My head hurt something fierce all the time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll show Mr. Harvey right in.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Aunt Dolores, my dear, you look tired. How are you, Miss Jones?
Very well, thank you. Oh, Jim, I'm glad you stopped by. We've rather had the doldrums around here the past day or so.
Yes, I know. I thought I'd stop by now and be here for the funeral this afternoon.
Poor Andrews. You loved him too, didn't you, Jim?
Yes, dear. I guess I did. I've known Andrews almost as long as you have.
Well, all I can say is I warned him again and again. If he'd only listen to
Andy,
me.
Please.
Jim, let's go outside and get some air. I've been in the house all day.
All right, dear.
You'd both better stay around close. I may need you.
All right, Juana. We'll probably be in the garden very well.
Oh, Jim.
Yes?
Remember about the lily pond?
Oh, yes, of course I will.
It's dangerous, you know. Be careful of it, Jim. Don't get too near to its edge.
Yes, I'll remember. Come, dear.
Jim?
Yes, dear?
What did she mean about the lily pond?
Oh, don't you remember that the railing around the pond was taken down for repairs? Hasn't been replaced yet.
Yes, I know, but been down for almost a month. Here, let's walk on the grass, shall we? Why does she remind you about it now?
Well, she probably doesn't want us to fall into it and soil our pretty clothes.
But she seems so insistent. She said it's dangerous for you to be careful of it. For you not to go too near its edge. You, Jim. Not me.
Oh, she meant both of us, silly. She just addressed me because she wants me to take care of you.
Does she?
Why, of course she does. What do you mean?
Jim, I've had the impression for a long time now that she doesn't want us to be married.
Oh, nonsense. She's delighted.
No, she's not delighted.
But Dolores...
I've wanted to tell you this for a long time. But I've hesitated to say anything. I thought I might have been mistaken. Now I know it's true. She hates you, Jim.
Juana hates me? Why, of all the silly things I've ever heard of, Juana and I are great friends.
Oh, darling, you're wrong. Juana has no love for you. I don't know why, but she'll be perfectly delighted if you and I never marry.
Dolores.
Jim, I want to be married just as soon as we possibly can. Then I want to go away from here.
Away? Where, dear?
I don't care where. Just so it's someplace else, anywhere but here.
But, darling, I thought you loved this place.
Love it? I despise it.
Dolores.
I do, Jim. Oh, darling, I'm so upset. There's something terrible going on around here. I don't know what it is. But it was responsible for Andrew's death.
Darling, how can you say that?
Because I know.
You know what?
There was nothing wrong with Andrew's eyes.
What?
No. Nothing at all wrong with them.
But he went blind. The autopsy proved it. But that's why...
I know. He died blind, yes. But I went with him to an optometrist about a week ago. Andrews had perfect vision in both eyes and no sign of defect or weakness.
But, Dolores, that's not possible.
I know, but it happened.
But how? How, dear?
I can't answer that. Oh, Jim, look out.
Good Lord.
Oh, dear, it's the lily pool. You almost walked right into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was over farther to the east end of the garden.
I don't know why we should be so frightened of it. It's quite shallow. Even if one of us did accidentally fall in, we'd only get a bit wet.
Is that all that would happen?
Jim, what do you mean?
I wonder. Come on, dear. We must be getting back to the house. I want to brush up a bit before the crowd begins to drift in.
Dolores, will you play the organ a while? I'd like some music.
Do you mind if I don't, Auntie? I'm rather tired.
Look here, Dolores. How about a swim down on the beach? The moon's out. It's quite warm tonight.
Jim, I think I'd like that.
Certainly, if you're too tired to play the organ, you're too tired to swim.
Oh, it'll be good for Miss Jonas. She needs some fresh air and exercise.
Yes, Auntie. You don't mind so much, do you?
No, I suppose not.
Good. Is there a suit in the men's quarters of the bathhouse I can use?
Yes, yes. You'll find several there, James. Take your choice.
Oh, fine. Come along, Dolores.
No, let's not go that way, Jim. Let's take the back door and cut through the garden to the bathhouse.
All right, dear.
We won't be long, Auntie. Just a plunge and we'll be right back.
Very well. Oh, James.
Yes, Miss Charles?
Remember about the lily pond?
Oh, yes. Oh, all right.
It's still quite dangerous, you know. Don't get too close to its edge. You may fall into it.
Yes, all right. We'll be careful, Miss Jones. We can see it all right in the moonlight.
Come on, Jim. There. You see? She keeps reminding you about the lily pond. Oh,
well, that just proves she doesn't want anything to happen to me. I told you she doesn't dislike me.
Jim, don't you think for a moment she doesn't. She dislikes you terribly. I think she even dislikes me.
But why? Good heavens, Dolores. She took you in when you were a mere infant, less than 3 years old. She's kept you. Clothes, a fine home, everything.
Yes, I know. And still, she hates me.
Dolores, I don't understand. If you've known this all along, why didn't you say something to me about it?
Because it's just recently she's changed. I don't know why she's changed, but she has.
Well, dear, suppose we forget everything for a while. This has been a trying day for all of us. Come on, I'll race you down to the bathhouse.
Dressed yet. It's odd. There's plenty of time. Jim? Jim, do you hear me? Are you in the bathhouse, Jim? Jim? What's that over there? Surely it got... Oh, no. Jim? Jim? Pond. His head beneath the water. The lily stems around his throat. Oh, Jim. Jim, my darling, what happened to you?
Please, try not to think about it. It's all over now, and there's nothing to be helped by thinking about it.
But how did it ever happen to him?
Dolores. You heard the coroner's verdict. Jim must have wandered over to the lily pond while waiting for you to finish dressing.
He apparently stumbled and fell, striking his head on a rock, becoming unconscious. He fell with his head underwater, and it strangled him. Oh, it was so sudden. If I'd only been a little quicker dressing, I might have saved him. Don't think of that, dear. We can't help what's happened. Lie still, dear. I'll answer it. Hello? Yes, Mr. Evans? Yes? Very well. I'll come to your office right away. Yes, within the hour. Very well. Goodbye. Oh, Dolores, I'm sorry, but I'll have to leave you a while. That was my lawyer. There's some very important papers I must attend to immediately. I'll be all right, Auntie. I'll send Almaine to take care of you. But I'm afraid she won't be of much help. She's been complaining of headache constantly, night and day. Did you call me, Miss Dolores? Yes, several times. You were so long answering. I'm sorry, Miss Dolores. I was downstairs. Can I do something for you, ma'am? Yes, Alma. I want the key to this room. That room, Miss Dolores? Yes, and I want it right away. My aunt has kept this room locked for 18 years. She's always told me she wants no one in there because her father died in that room. Yes, ma'am. That's it. Nothing else. I'm not so sure. I intend to go inside that room now. Get me the key. Oh, Miss Dolores, I beg you, ma'am. Don't go into that room. Whatever you do, ma'am, in the name of heaven, don't go into that room. Why not? Tell me, Alma. What's in there? It's frightful, ma'am. Please listen to me. My head's splitting. I'm a sick woman. I'm almost a dead woman. But with the life that's left in me, I plead with you not to enter that room. Alma, stop this nonsense. It's not nonsense, miss. There's worse than the devil in there. Alma, do you have the key? Answer me. Do you have the key to that room? Yes, ma'am. That I have. I stole it from Miss Charles. A month ago. Then let me have it. Give it to me. At once. I'll open the door. There you are, ma'am. I'll turn on the light. Why? Well, this room is empty. Nothing here but an old table covered with a huge black cloth. That's all, miss. Come now. Let's shut off the light and lock the door. No. Wait a minute. What's on that table? Please, Mr. Lawrence, don't go near that table. I want to see. I ask you not to, Mr. Lawrence. Dolls. Four little dolls, each about 12 inches tall, lying here on the table. Please come away, Miss Dolores. Good heavens. This doll looks exactly like Andrew's. Look. Lying there on his back. With a common pin stuck squarely in the middle of each eye. He went blind, Miss Dolores. Good heavens. An exact image of Jim Harvey. Lying with his head submerged in a miniature lily pond. Mr. Harvey died in the lily pond. In the garden. This doll. Alma. It's an image of you. With a pin stuck into its head. Oh, Miss Dolores, ma'am. My head's killing me with its aching. Alma. This fourth doll. It's you, Miss Dolores. With another pin. Stuck into the doll's body so it pierces the heart. Don't you feel pains in your heart, Miss Dolores? Alma, what in the world does all this mean? It's witchcraft. Witchcraft. Black magic. But I don't understand. It's Miss Jarmers, your aunt. First, she convinced Andrews he was going blind. Then she convinced Mr. Harvey he'd die in the lily pond. And now she's trying to kill me with a headache. And you with a heart attack.
But how? How?
They use it where she came from, miss. Where she came from years ago.
Where was that?
Haiti.
Haiti?
Yes. When you've got an enemy in Haiti, you want to get rid of him. You make a doll that looks like him. You put hair from his head on the doll's head. Cloth from his clothes for the doll's clothes. Then you stick a pin in the part of the enemy you want to make hurt. And it works.
Alma.
It does, Miss Dolores. Look at Andrews. Blind because of the hex. Look at Mr. Harvey. Dead in the lily pond. Look at me. Me with my terrible headache. And the pin sticking in the head of that doll.
We'll pull out the pin.
Oh, no, don't. If you do that, I'm sure to die. Right away.
Alma, tell me how you know all this.
I've been listening, Miss Dolores. And watching. For years. I've been watching. And listening. And, oh, Miss Dolores.
Alma. Alma, what's wrong? Alma, speak to me. Are you all right? Alma. She's dead.
Miss Dolores. Feeling better?
Yes. Much. How did I get here in my bed, Doctor?
Her aunt found you here, unconscious.
Oh, then I did manage to get here before I fainted. Have you found Alma?
Yes, poor girl. Dead. Brain hemorrhage.
Brain hemorrhage?
Yes.
Where did you find her, Doctor?
In her room. She must have died in her sleep.
No. No, she didn't die in her bed. My aunt must have placed her there.
Dolores, you know the truth.
Do you, Dr. Seabrook?
I've known it for years. I've been watching one of your aunt for years. When Ambrose died, I became suspicious. When your fiancé perished in the lily pond, I was convinced. Convinced that Wanda was using her ancient jungle powers.
Her what?
Let me tell you a story. She was married to a wealthy plantation owner in Haiti about 18 years ago. One day, she decided to rid herself of him. So she fed him poison. When he realized what she had done to him, he went off into the jungle to die. But first, he made a will, leaving all his money and property to the baby daughter of his closest friend, a man who died of jungle fever and whose baby had been taken to America by friends. Juana's husband left his fortune to that baby girl. That girl, my dear, was you. Before the poisoned man died, he sought out a jungle witch doctor and had him make a charm. It was a doll-like image of the woman who had poisoned him. He took a lock of her hair from where he'd always carried it in a gold locket, and the hair became the doll's hair. Then he took a long needle dipped it in the most potent poison, and plunged that needle again and again into the body of the doll image. The poison was one that brings about instant and complete paralysis of the human muscles.
Paralysis?
Yes. It's a poison well known in Haiti.
He cast a spell upon her, just as she's been casting spells on us.
Precisely.
But her spells were effective. His wasn't.
No spell is effective unless the victim is made aware of its existence. Just a few moments ago, I told your aunt the same story I've told you.
You mean you told her about the spell that was cast upon her years ago?
In an offhand manner. I passed it on to her. It's just a story I'd heard from a friend of mine in Haiti. I pretended I didn't know that she was involved.
Where is she now?
You feel like getting up?
Yes, I'm all right.
This door leads to your aunt's room, doesn't it?
Yes, it's not locked. Here. Is she in here?
Yes, she's in there.
Oh, she's ill. And Juana, doctor, look at her.
The spell she cast upon you is broken now. Your aunt is dead.
But look at her.
Yes. She died instantly of complete paralysis.
From January of 1942, it's been Dark Fantasy with Death is a Strange Deity. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have today, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen. Together, enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our
preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.